Well, again, good morning
to everybody.
It is wonderful again to be here this morning. We're going to be ending our series on Back to the Basics this morning. If you've noticed in the order of worship, we're going to be talking about service and how can I serve the Lord. And if you would like, I know there's not an outline in our bulletin today. There is some space for you to write notes and take notes, and I encourage you to do that. But on the little table out, not the round table, but the little rolling table in the lobby, there is a copy of all my slides from this morning's sermon. I only printed off a few of them. If you would like one and there aren't any left, please let me know and I will print you off one as well. It uses a lot of color to print off a lot of slides, so that's why there's only a few out there. But please feel free to take those home and have them as a resource for you, and to check me if you want to and get back with me if you want to study more about this particular lesson. So we have been talking the past 6 weeks on basic teachings found in Scripture, and we've been really trying to dig deep into what God has to say aside from what the world and society wants us to know and wants us to believe. We're trying to look in God's Word and see what He wants for us to know. Now, this morning is no different, and I pray as we go throughout this lesson, I will not go away from God's Scriptures, and we will just see what He has to say, and we will be able to practically put into what God has to say. Now, most of our garages may look like this. It may not be as neat as this. This is pretty awesome. But we probably have a lot of different tools. Guys, you probably have an assortment of different hand tools, power tools, and all those different things. Now, those different tools all have a different purpose. Now, sometimes, if you're like one of us guys, you like to use a drill as a hammer. Now, those drills were not made to be hammers, right? And we have certain tools that serve us different ways. We have different yard tools that will serve us different ways. Now, in the Lord's church, we have a variety of people here that all serve a different purpose. And so we're going to be discussing how can I help the church? How can I serve the church? Now, what I have done is we're going to be mainly talking about the different roles that we play in the church. Now, I want to make sure we understand this statement before we begin, because most of the time this is one of those hot button issues that most preachers don't want to preach on. But I want to make sure you understand this. All souls were created equal. Please understand that in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God created mankind in His image. He didn't create just man in His image, and He created man and woman in His image. Also, in Galatians 3, 28, Paul makes sure to let us know salvation is for everybody, not just men, but women also. Right? All souls are created equal, but we were created for different roles. And this morning, what I want to do is go through God's Word and explain what those different roles are and practically help us see how you can fulfill those different roles we find in the church. Now, here are some reasons why this has become such a hot button issue, such a hard sermon sometimes to preach on, because of what society is trying to do to those who do carry out God's word in this manner. Notice what was said in Christianity Today back in 1975. Nothing but jealousy, bigotry, and stingy love for bossing in men have prevented women's public recognition by the church. No church that is acquainted with the Holy Ghost will object to the public ministry of women. We know scores of women who can preach the gospel with a clearness, a power, and an efficiency seldom equaled by men. Now, also notice this. This is a little book that I have in my office that I was looking through trying to find information. This lady, Renee Webb Sproles, tells this particular message about the general kind of climate of this particular subject today. The issue of what we believe about men and women isn't gospel level important. The most important thing is Jesus. And besides, it's hard to know what the Bible says about men and women. It's complicated. And we've been wrong before. We have men who have made some big mistakes in their marriage and in our churches. We need to make up for that. Shouldn't we err on the side of caution and just let everyone choose for themselves what to believe? If we're just sincerely following what we think is true, isn't that enough? Now, there are a lot of flaws in that particular paragraph, in that particular statement, but this is what a lot of people are believing these days, that we should let everybody just do what they want to do. Here's the problem. How did that work out in the book of Judges? If you go from Judges 1 all the way to Judges 21, that's not what we're going to be reading to our kids at night when they go to bed. Right? It is some scary stuff. And the whole reason you'll see it, a cycle repeating itself, is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. When we put God aside and we say, I'll do what I want to do, who knows what could happen, right? And so that's why it's so important that we look to God's word and make sure we're doing what He wants us to do, not what I want to do. So, to help me understand, to help you understand us, what these particular roles are, the best place to go in the New Testament that I know of is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. We will sometimes call these three books the pastoral epistles, right? Because what Paul is doing is he is writing these letters to two different evangelists. We've got Timothy and we've got Titus. Timothy was stationed in Ephesus as an evangelist there, and he was there to help the church there get on its feet and to help put elders in place and leaders in place and help them understand the true doctrines. You also have Titus, who was stationed on the island of Crete, and you'll notice, and we'll look at these purpose statements here in just a second, but Titus was there for pretty much the same purpose, to help put things in order and to establish elders at this particular congregation. In these letters, you'll also find what roles men and women should play in God's church. Here's the purpose statement that you can find in Timothy as Paul's writing this first letter to him, right? And whenever you read New Testament letters, it's always great when you can find these statements because it helps you understand, well, why is Paul even writing this in the first place? So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, notice Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. So when you're reading throughout 1 Timothy, guess what you're going to find? How one ought to behave in the household of God, how one ought to live, how one ought to play a role in the household of God. And that's why throughout 1 Timothy, you'll see these, you should be praying, you should be making sure you're holding to God's truth, not man's truth. He'll bring out some people at the end of 1 Timothy that had gone astray. He'll talk in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about elders and deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he'll talk about widows and how we need to help our widows. And maybe there's a widow who has no one to help her. Well, if she meets certain qualifications, she should be on the church's payroll. There's a lot of different things that happen in 1 Timothy, and it's a wealth of knowledge for us on how we should understand our roles in the church. Now, 2 Timothy, totally different letter. Because now you've read 1 Timothy, and Paul is encouraging this young evangelist to go out and to preach God's truth, and then 2 Timothy comes around. And over again, he lets him know, what are you doing? Why are you being a coward when it comes to preaching the truth? Why have you succumbed to these false teachers? Notice at the very beginning of 2 Timothy says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Numerous times in 2 Timothy, you'll find where Paul is saying, "What are you doing, Timothy? Why are you letting these people get you down? Why are you causing these people to make you go into hiding and be scared to preach the truth?" That's why when you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says, "Preach the word," it's not a time where it's joyous. This is Paul literally almost screaming at Timothy to stand up for God's truth. You need to preach the word, right? And so, very important letter to see what happened to Timothy and why he fell from wanting to really preach the gospel. Then we have Titus in Titus 1:5, the purpose statement here. Notice, "This is why I left you in Crete." Well, what was the purpose for you leaving him Crete? Notice the "so that" statement. "So that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Two reasons why he is there is to appoint elders. Through the rest of chapter 1, you're going to see the qualifications for elders and what Titus is to be looking for to in these men to put them at the leadership, to put them in leadership of this particular congregation. Throughout the rest, from chapter 2 through the end of Titus, you'll see to put what remained into order. That's why in Titus chapter 2, you'll find how young men should be in relationship with older men, how older women should treat younger women, how older men should treat younger men. And you're going to see a lot of different things on what would help this church be put into order, and that was Titus's goal. Now, we're going to look in these letters in particular, and we'll use some other help from other New Testament books, but we're going to talk about how we can serve as men and women in the Lord's church. I want to first start with women. Now, most times that I have heard sermons on women's roles in the church, what we often do as preachers is we tell you what you cannot do, and then we leave it at that and we go home. Most of the time we even get good job on the sermon. But I feel like we do a disservice because while we're telling you what you cannot do, you may have the question ringing in your mind, okay, I know I can't do that, but what can I do? And so sometimes women will shut down and they won't serve the church at all because they'll think, well, what if I am not doing what God wants me to be doing? And so what I hope to do this morning is, and you'll see, there is a plethora of things that women can play and how much of a role they can play in God's church. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, notice what Paul says here. "A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness." This is the idea of more having a quiet spirit, right? Of learning in submissiveness. "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man." Now, please understand, in the context of 1 Timothy, he's talking about a Christian man. A Christian man in the Lord's church, but she is to remain quiet. She is not to have this authoritative teaching position or an authoritative role over a Christian man. Why? "For it was Adam who was created first, and then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So two reasons Paul is bringing out this teaching. Number one, it's because that's how God set things in order when he created man and woman. He created the man first, then the woman second. Here's why this is so important that Paul makes these last two statements. Because I have heard over and over as I teach this and try to help people understand this particular message is, well, that was the culture during Paul and Timothy's time. That was during Ephesus. They had women prophetesses of pagan religions, and so they wanted to make sure that they weren't trying to take over the church, and so that's why Paul said this. Here's the problem with that. Paul doesn't anchor his point in a modern day teaching at that time. He goes all the way back to creation and says, no, this is how God intended it at the very beginning. He created man first and then woman. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived. And that's why we have this particular teaching from Paul. He anchors it in creation. Now, let me ask you, how different was the culture in the garden than it was in Ephesus during the time of Timothy? Totally different. So to use the cultural argument is not a good place to go. I know we have women today who are very prominent in the business world, and that's great, right? And they have those opportunities that are wonderful for them. But just because the world acknowledges that doesn't mean we can say, look, this is a cultural thing. Now that we have women in businesses and all of these things, we should also have them leading the church as well. The problem with that is God does not agree. God says, because I created man first and then woman, that's how I want it in my church. And you'll understand the reason why in just a second. We'll also go to passages like 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 through 35. Another very important passage for us to understand too. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, we really have how we should order our assembly time this morning, how we're here assembled. This is where we use 1 Corinthians 14, how we should approach our services, our worship, our assemblies to God. Now, what he does here is he talks about really a variety of different gifts that would help people in the service to the Lord, in the assembly. You'll see tongue speaking, interpretation, you'll see revelation, you'll see prophecy. Now, as you get further down in 1 Corinthians 14, you'll notice he starts talking about prophets a lot. What he is doing here is he's explaining this is how the gift of prophecy should be used in the assembly time. And so he's going to be talking to men and their prophecy, right? And then all of a sudden he jumps into this particular lesson right here where he's going to start talking about, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silence in the churches. Now, the verses right before this, he's talking about men who are prophets. And then right after this, he's going to talk about prophets. Who are these women and what spiritual gift do they have? They're prophetesses. They have this gift of prophecy. If you look to Acts 20, Philip's three daughters were all prophetesses. In Joel 2, the prophecy that we have is that women would be able to prophesy. Absolutely. Women had this particular gift. Now, Paul's giving instructions on how women should use their gift in the assembly of the church. He's saying, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. So this is not a new thing. The law also states this very same thing, and he's letting us know, look, nothing has changed. Now, this is in the form of how a woman should publicly address churches with their gift of prophecy. He says, look, they are not to speak. They are not to have this authoritative leadership role. Yes, they have the gift of prophecy, and it's great, and they can use it, but they're not to address the assembly with it. And he's letting them know that. Okay? Now, if they were to learn anything, or if they had a question about anything, notice, if they were to desire to learn, well, it then says to let them go ask their husbands at home. Well, we can assume or imply that their husbands were also prophets. So let's say a prophecy came to a woman while she was in a service, an assembly time, and she had a question about it. Well, she was to go home and talk to her husband about it and say, hey, God gave me this teaching. How do I deal with this? What is this about? How should I approach this? She was to ask her husband. See, Paul is very clear. This is the idea. This keep silence is totally different than the word that you see in 1 Timothy about being quiet. This is actually total silence. Being quiet in 1 Timothy is more of the idea of just being a quiet spirit, right? Not trying to overtake a Bible class or anything along those lines. So what we usually come up with as preachers is we say, here's the things women cannot do. They can't teach in the presence of Christian men. 1 Timothy 2:12 tells us that. They can't exercise authority over Christian men. They can't lead a prayer when Christian men are present. That is implied in 1 Timothy 2:8 because God wants men to lead prayers in every place. And then they cannot address the church publicly. That's it. That's what we have. But I want you to now look at this list. Remember how many are on here. But here's what women can do. You see how little we focus on the actual impact women can make. And if you've been a member at Hilldale for a very short amount of time, you know what kind of impact the women make at this congregation. Without the women at this congregation, I would probably not have looked at Hilldale, right? They play a major role. Notice, 1 Timothy 5:2, they can be motherly and sisterly. They can help the widows. They can have a good reputation. Can you imagine how awesome of a quality it is for a woman to have a good reputation? Who are you teaching? You're teaching the young women, and you're also teaching your children on what it means to have a good reputation. You can be hospitable. You can bring up the children. You can serve the saints. You can care for the afflicted. Notice a lot of these are coming from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. These are the women, if you were to look in verse 9, for the widows who were being considered to be put on the payroll of the church, they had a qualification list. They had to be women who had a good reputation, women who were known to be hospitable, women who were known to bring up children, women who were servants of the saints, women who cared for the afflicted. Those are the type of women that Paul said, look, these women are worthy of being put on the payroll of the church. We need to support them because they have done a wonderful job in their life. They don't need to be slanderers. They need to be role models. Titus 2:3 talks about how the older women should be teaching the younger women. I'm just going to be honest. Y'all are going to do a way better job than I will ever do. Because being a big bearded guy, sometimes younger women aren't going to see me and say, oh, you really know how to be a woman, right? Because I don't. But you do. You know the different attacks Satan will bring into your life. I don't. I know how Satan will attack men. But you know how Satan has attacked you as a woman, and that is great lessons to teach our younger women. How Satan will try to attack your marriage as a woman. Teach our younger women. Let them be prepared as they are looking for a man or looking to help their marriage. Be those influences for them. Teach the younger women, Titus 2:4. Be the house ruler, the ruler of the home. Titus 2:5, be kind. Matthew 28:19-20, be an evangelist. Because if you remember, Paul told Timothy that a woman is not to exercise authority over Christian men. That doesn't take you out of the evangelism field. You should still be out there trying to reach these lost people, man or woman, to help them. Now, I get it if you feel uncomfortable teaching a man. That's when you kick your husband into gear and say, let's get it going. I want you to help me evangelize to this person. That shouldn't ever stop you from evangelism. And then Genesis 2:18, be a wife and a helpmate. A lot of different ways you can impact this particular church. Now, I wanted to make this as practical as possible. Here are specific ways and specific servant opportunities for you to help Hilldale. This is a long list, and please don't think of this as being exhaustive either. Notice, there's the Tuesdays ladies group, teaching and serving. The amount of things they do is unbelievable. There are funeral groups. There are wedding and baby shower groups. There are Wednesday night ladies class, teaching and serving opportunities. If you want to teach, awesome. There are multiple times that you will have opportunities to teach here. For the women's class, for the Tuesday ladies class, and for the Wednesday night ladies class. Lads to leaders, younger ages, they're always looking for people to help. You don't just have to have a kid in that particular age group, right? Bible class teachers for our sprouts and seedlings classes. We have a nursery ministry here, and they're always looking for people to help and be a part of that. teaching the teen girls. I'm sure Cliff would love if some women would come in there and help teach the young ladies, right? Y'all have wisdom that Cliff does not have. No offense, Cliff, but me and Cliff are not ladies. We don't know the wisdom that y'all have, and y'all could be such a wonderful resource for our younger women, and also event planning. There are so many different things, and I'm sure if you were to go to some of the women who have been at Hilldale a lot longer, they would be able to give you a lot more different opportunities. Now, men, let's talk to you. What can we do, men? And to be honest, this is where we see sometimes the issue of why women are stepping into leadership roles. Why do you think, just logically think to yourself, why do you think women are trying to step into leadership roles? Where do they see a void in the leadership of men? And sometimes in churches, men are not stepping up to the plate, and so women say, well, if you're not going to do it, I'll just do it. Well, this is what we need to be doing, men. We need to be leading our families. We need to be making sure our wife is on the path towards heaven. We need to make sure our kids are on their path towards heaven. I know work is hard every single day, but when we go home, that's not when we shut down. When we go home, that's when we play a bigger role. Right? Yes, we're at work all day and we're doing long hours. Maybe you're sitting in a chair, or maybe you're moving around all day. But when you get home, that's when the biggest job starts. That's when we're helping our young people, our kids, our wife understand, look, I know I provide for this family, but I want to do something more important. I want to care for your spiritual lives. We need to be the shepherds in God's church. We need to make sure we are trying to do that. That's what God intended. You can look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 on the qualifications of men that he wants to lead his church. We need to minister to God's church. You have 1 Timothy chapter 3 with the deacons and all the different roles that they can play in the particular congregation. And there are specific qualifications that go along with them as well. But God wants these servant leaders. We need to be men that are willing to lead prayers wherever we are, in every place. When you're around family functions, when you're in public, be the man that's going to step up and say, look, I'll lead the prayer. If you don't know how to pray, ask. Look to the Bible. The New Testament has a lot of example prayers on what you can pray. We need to be willing to lead in the assembly setting. There are a lot of opportunities. We now have had 12 more opportunities to be able to be a part of the Lord's Supper. Right? We also, I mean, there's a lot of guys that serve on Sunday mornings here, and so there are opportunities for you. And then we can also be the mentors to young men. We want to encourage those younger men. This is the spouse you want to look for. This is the job you want to have. This is the life you should want to live. And I pray that we're all men that are trying to mentor young men to say, look, put God first in everything you do. Put God first with the woman you're trying to choose as your wife. Put God first in the job that you choose coming out of high school or college. Put God first in the church that you want your family to attend. I hope that's the men that we are mentoring to our younger men. Now, here are some specific opportunities for us men at Hilldale. We can be elders. Now notice I put in parentheses, we have to live our lives to be qualified. So young men, as you're growing up, you should have those qualifications in your back pocket pretty much saying, this is the man I strive to be. Because that's who our elders are. They are the men who we should strive to imitate. The men who are qualified to lead God's family. We want to be deacons. We have deacon roles here, but there are specific qualifications that we have to meet. There are Bible classes, multiple Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. We can serve in our assembly services. We can lead in worship at Arcadia and Ahava. There are two extra opportunities for you to be able to go and serve, not only in this building, but we are also helping out at two assisted living homes. And there are two men over those. You can get with Justin Boyd or you can get with Travis Hartle on if you want to go and help there. They need men to lead prayers. They need men to help with the Lord's Supper. They need men to lead singing. And I'm sure you could do a devotional as well. We have a visiting group every Monday night that Vince Davidson helps coordinate. We would love to have more men. Also, if your spouse wants to come, or if you're a lady who wants to come, feel free to come be a part of that group. We have devotionals throughout the week that we would love for you to come and help with. We can also assist in our women's ministries. They do a lot of heavy lifting, sometimes literally, and they would like to be able to use our backs and not only theirs. Then we also have the buddy system, where we can be a role model to where we help our young men. We help encourage them. I've heard numerous times how a lot of our young kids want a certain person to be their buddy. Well, I would love it if they were all looking to find, I want this guy, this man, this elder, deacon, servant to be my buddy. Because I know how awesome they are and how encouraging and how much of a mentor they can be. There are a lot of different roles we can play. There's a lot of different opportunities we have to serve the Lord. And if there is ever a time where you realize, you know, I really want to help, reach out to the ministers here. Reach out to the elders here. We would love to fit you in and plug you in somehow. Just because there are some things you cannot do, trust me, there's a lot more that you can, because men and women both have significant or specific roles to play a significant impact on His church. I hope this has been helpful to you. I know this is sometimes not the most fun sermon to preach, but I tried to make it as close to God's word as I can. And if there is someone here today that is in need of prayers, whatever they may be, we would love to encourage you this morning. For the past few weeks, we've had people responding, and I love to see that in a congregation because it shows that people are vulnerable here. And that is awesome. And people are wanting to be encouraged, and people are wanting help, and we would love to help you here at Hilldale. Maybe this morning you need those prayers. We'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you're ready to become a child of God and have your sins washed away in baptism. We would love for this morning to be that morning as well. We just ask that you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.